to find when you mess with your mind that you've gone beyond a reasonable doubt.
Hi, this is Terry Manning, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
Friday, September 9th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, WGXC.org, including at 10 a.m. it's time for the Global Agogo Show, with 2020 new music today from Joao Silva, Sonido Gala Negro, and the Alama Project, among others. Jared Wiggershoot is live from Hudson in the WGXC studio in the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street at noon after the local news with the Sugar Shack Jukebox. And then A.M. Philip Kowski is the featured artist on the Data Cult audio show at 2 p.m. on 90.7 FM. At 4 p.m., the WGXC afternoon show is live from Acre. At 6 p.m., Clubhouse Radio features teenagers live from Main Street in Catskill, playing their music and talking about their issues on Clubhouse Radio. And then we've got different teens in Hudson at 7 p.m. talking about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show with the Hudson Area Library. 2 hours of local music at 8 p.m. with Hudson Valley Sounds. And at 10 p.m., DJ Shavar is back with the Friday Night Vibe session on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers, and doubters.
Twitter at Parkdale Pirate Radio. I'll be posting about it through that. You can also email me at disco3000@outlook.com, and I'll do my best to keep you in the loop of all the special pirate radio happenings that I'll be doing over the next 3 weeks in Brazil. I return October 6th back to the airwaves of Parkdale to my regularly scheduled pirate radio program. So, with that said and out of the way, I've got a lot of good music for you tonight on this last show for a few weeks, including an exclusive broadcast of the Pulitzer Prize-winning composition by Raven Chacon, Voiceless Mass. Just won the Pulitzer Prize a matter of months ago, and I have one of the only recordings around. So I'm going to be playing that in the second hour of the program. You're not going to want to miss that. Also, music from Alvin Lucier, Frank Zappa, lots of good music coming up. But I'm going to start the show off with music that, well, I don't like to get political on this show. This is a music program, and I don't like to talk about politics. You can hear my views on politics somewhere else. This show is about music. But I thought it fitting today with all of the tributes going around for this colonial leader that has recently passed. I thought it fitting to start the show with something that acknowledges, at this time when everybody's singing this person's praises. I thought it was a good idea to start the show with music that acknowledges the great harm and terrible things that this person and their family are directly responsible for. So what better way to do that than words and music from the great American activist and artist and pirate radio hero of mine, John Trudell. From the album Tribal Voices, this is John Trudell, but this isn't El Salvador.
Oh, reading poetry from Central America. After talking with my brother, suddenly remembering how they kill. Couldn't really say it straight before. They told me you were dead. I died. They told me your mother was dead. I died again. They told me the kids were dead. I died with each name. Fire. The government said accident. They lied. Duck Valley, my El Salvador. Our last kiss was our last goodbye. They came for you in winter's night. Winter's wind wailed in mourning. Government people searched for days. Scene of crime, digging through ashes, looking for body parts and disturbing evidence. We buried you all in a large grave while a blizzard covered us in a blanket of snow. How it stormed, terrible pain in land of the free. Someone's should have noticed fewer women laughing. Someone's should have noticed fewer children growing up. But this isn't El Salvador. Warm, strong-willed woman, I still have memories you gave me. Maybe if we recognized peasant eyes, maybe if we recognized plantation lies, Archbishop Romero would have nothing on you. Trying not to cry, how will I ever stop? Ever see a wounded lion try hiding pain? Watch out, it doesn't work. But this isn't El Salvador. At times, I feel every embrace we share. At times, every tender moment still lives. Met a Sandinista who touched my cheek, kind of like you used to. Said to me, you are one of us, but this isn't El Salvador. Gentle woman, natural mother, natural world. Some people won't comprehend what happens. Who wants realities cluttered by acts of war? Have to keep a lot inside at times. Not offending people with words they don't want to see pictures of. But this isn't El Salvador. Some people told me I'm strong to survive. I'm not strong. I'm not weak. No morality. No right. No wrong. One tear at a time I fall. I rise. But this isn't El Salvador. You loved your people in the face of the American dream. Fry bread and tortillas, some wars are the same. Who thinks Wounded Knee and Sand Creek happen only in history books? Is this not history? We live and die. But this isn't El Salvador. The first look you gave me, your eyes spoke, your spirit, your heart. My heart, our heart, there was no other way. Someone's say, we're with you, brother. We understand what's been done. Someone say, but this isn't El Salvador. This is America. Yes, I know. Almost 2,000 seasons. We fall, we rise. We fall, we rise.
Are all muddied with a thousand lonely suicides. And a dark wind blows. The government is corrupt. And we're on so many drugs with the radio on and the curtains drawn. We're trapped in the belly of this horrible machine. And the machine is bleeding to death. The sun has fallen down, and the billboards are all leering, and the flags are all dead at the top of their poles. It went like this. The buildings toppled in on themselves. Mothers clutching babies picked through the rubble and pulled out their hair. The skyline was beautiful on fire. All twisted metal stretching upwards. Everything washed in a thin orange haze. I said, kiss me, you're beautiful. These are truly the last days. You grabbed my hand, and we fell into it, like a daydream or a fever. We woke up one morning and fell a little further down. For sure it's the valley of death. I open up my wallet and it's full of blood.
You reckon hell will leave me out? When me you fly, I am awake.
Journey beyond death. beyond the basic God standard of fear and danger. It is the most heavily guarded road in the world, for it gives access to the gift that supersedes all other gifts, immortality. The road to the western lands is devious, unpredictable. Today's easy passage may be tomorrow's death trap. The obvious road is almost always a fool's road. And beware the middle roads, the roads of moderation, common sense, and careful planning. However, there is a time for planning, moderation, and common sense. You reckon hell to leave me out? When me you fly, I am the wings. A dangerous road. Every pitfall, every error, every snare to which every man has been liable since the beginning, you are sure to meet on the road to the western land. Reach the western lands is to achieve freedom from fear. Do you free yourself from fear by cowering in your physical body for eternity? Your body is a boat to lay aside when you reach the far shore, or sell it if you can find a fool. It's full of holes. It's full of holes. I want to reach the western lands, right in front of you across the bubbling brook. It's a frozen sewer. It's known as the Doohan, remember? All the filth and horror, fear, hate, disease, and death of human history flows between you and the western lands. It
gives access to the gift that supersedes all other gifts.
How long does it take a man to learn that he does not, cannot want what he wants? You have to be in hell to see heaven. Glimpses from the land of the dead, flashes of serene, timeless joy, a joy as old as suffering and despair. Reach the western lands is to achieve freedom.
And beware the middle roads.
You free yourself from fear by cowering in your physical body for eternity.
However,
your body is a boat. Lay aside your reason for sense. Or sell it, you can find a fool. It's full of holes. It's full of holes.
A dangerous road. Every pitfall, every era.
I want to reach the western land.
Every man has been alive since the beginning.
It's a frozen sewer.
You are sure to meet
the Doohan, remember? All the filth and horror, fear, hate, disease, and death of human history flows between you.
Reach the western lands is to achieve freedom from fear. You free yourself from fear by cowering in your physical body for eternity.
How long does it take a man?
Your body is a boat to lay aside when you reach the far shore.
You have to be in hell.
It's full of holes.
Glimpses from the land of the dead. Flashes of serene, timeless joy. A joy of old.
I want to reach the western lands. Right in front of you across the bubbling brook. It's a frozen sewer. It's known as the Doohan, remember? All the filth and horror, fear, hate, disease, and death of human history.
listening to It's All in Your Head FM, putting the less back in Godless.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so.
It's All in Your Head FM. It's All in Your Head FM.
But in point of fact, since the Neanderthals until now, we have a choice of many, many cultures' notions of what the afterlife is. And the amazing thing is that they don't cohere very well. Each afterlife design, each culture designs what it thinks is important for its afterlife, and they don't necessarily have any relationship to other people's afterlives.
I'm troubled by the idea that one can be willing to believe in something if it's not true.
But just because it's not scientific doesn't mean it's not true.
The funny thing is that Americans' near-death experiences confirm our notion, our relatively optimistic notion, that we're all going to heaven. But if you look at near-death experiences over 2,000 years of history, you find that most often in the past they were fearful experiences in which people experienced going to hell. And when they recovered from it, then they changed their lives and became good religious people.
Things up and stuff like that. Well, now, why is this, Harold?
It seems to most Americans that we don't need to do that. Most of us think we're living just fine lives. And so we experience heaven. Have these experiences. I think it's a normal part of the human mind that we do have these extraordinary experiences. There's a book called Why God Won't Go Away, and it suggests that we are, in a sense, wired to have these extraordinary experiences. In which our religious life is innovated, and we find new ways of expressing what the afterlife is about.
Heaven,
So I think of these notions of the afterlife, which are produced by societies, and only recently by individuals, after all, as kinds of mirrors in which a society takes stock of itself and asks itself, what is the most important thing? About ourselves. Everyone's saying different things to me, different things to me. And so I think that that is a very important thing to realize. As to whether any one or another of particular portraits of the afterlife is true, they tell us one thing or another, and they all have to be believed with a grain of salt. But the strange thing about fiction is that you can believe it entirely. In fact, you have to believe Hamlet entirely in order to understand what the play is about. So my feeling is that history always tells lies, but since this is fiction, we can safely believe it.
How can you believe something that you don't think is true? I mean, certainly an intelligent person can't embrace something that they don't think is true.
Some people don't believe in God and some people do. And I don't know, it doesn't seem like there could be a God.
But since this is fiction, we can safely believe it.
I believe. It all depends on what you believe.
Hadn't believed it, I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes.
We all are in this cultural trance.
If I hadn't believed it, I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes.
There is no God!
When do you think of God, Douglas?
I think of God when I'm lying in bed, Miss Parker. It makes me feel better. I seem to go to sleep faster.
But isn't there a huge arrogance in all this, that God is beyond definition, beyond pigeonholing and describing fully?
Any
definitions are provisional, and to say someone else's understanding of God is simply wrong could be a spiritual arrogance, really.
Well, only from those who are relativists. I'm not a relativist. I'm an absolutist. And I believe that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if I am a follower of Jesus Christ, who am I to say that I'm not going to put myself under the authority of the teaching of Jesus Christ? It's not arrogance. It's submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, I know that in a modern relativist, a syncretistic age, the exclusive claims of the traditional Christian faith jar the ear. But jar the ear. But that doesn't make them wrong. For those who are loyal followers of Jesus Christ.
And then tell a story about it. That's what myths and stories are all about.
He writes that the doctrine that the universe was created by a being resembling a man, but magnified in every respect, a kind of Superman, reflects the gross ignorance of primitive peoples. His main argument rests on the notion that religious ideas are rooted in deep-seated wishes and are therefore illusions, false beliefs. According to Freud, God does not make us in his image. We make God in our image.
It ain't necessarily so.
Well, what do you know? Here I am. I am the weatherman, dumber than ever, and you are listening to It's All in Your Head FM.
Yeah, now instead of saying this is baloney, let's think about why this happens. Why would people experience epiphanies like this? And we know enough about the brain now that we know that a certain percentage of the population has epiphany-type experiences that are triggered by lucid dreams, by hypnopompic hallucinations, by sleep deprivation, and so on. I've had a number of these and experimented with some of these to see what it's like to have an out-of-body experience. And it's just fascinating that it's fascinating that the brain is capable of conceiving of such things as omnipresent and omnipotent gods. That to me is ultimately the most interesting question, is how the brain is capable of conceiving of that.
Well, the problem with fundamentalists is if they're not having a good time, they think that everybody else shouldn't be having a good time.
Is giving some meaning to the pattern. Now, the question is the pattern real or not? The one best method we have for determining that is science.
What we think occurs is that a given group of neurons, nerve cells in the brain, firing, having electric impulses at the same time, corresponds to a particular sensation or feeling. And it's a map. So somehow or other, we're able to translate where neurons are firing. One's on the left, one's on the right, one's a little next to it. We have those, let's say 13 neurons all firing. That means I feel good. But how does that get translated into sensation? And that's something that we want to understand, and we don't yet. So that's a big problem.
Well, what would you do with the brain if you had one?
And how much of your brain is involved in a given thought? But how does that get translated into sensation? How much of your brain is involved in a given thought? Is it one little spot of your brain? Or when you have a thought, is it a lot of different places in your brain all contributing to that thought?
We all are in this cultural trance.
If tolerant means that I think the other faith is just as true as me, then there's no sense in me telling a person of another faith that they ought to adopt my faith. If tolerance means that I can have convictions that my view is true and it's valuable for me to communicate that to somebody else, but if they don't want to listen, they don't have to listen. We can engage in a meaningful discussion about who is right and who's wrong instead of using what I think happens in culture, name-calling to silence the other person. You mean, you're intolerant, you think you're right, so go away. When the fact is, every single person in the discussion thinks he's right. Every person sitting here holding the ideas they hold them because they think they're correct. And if somebody disagrees with those views, whether they voice it or not, they think the disagreement is mistaken.
I disagree with that view. I'm sorry.
I bumped into a girl roller skating. The girl that was roller skating said something about God. My classmate said he isn't real. It was a great discussion, but we all went off with good feelings.
And, you know, only in America would a conversation like this consistently be brought back to this need to prove God. Look, you can't prove it. Let me just say it as clearly as I can. There are no proofs of God.
what's very curious about this period of time is you've got this mixture of things. You have, on the one hand, this hunger for meaning and embracing meaning, yet you have a whole movement in our culture that's rejecting even the possibility of meaning.
May I?
Whether there is a God or not, nobody knows.
This is called postmodernism.
Find out, I guess, in the end.
The idea that not only do we have our individual stories, but there's nothing but stories.
But in the meantime, as storytelling animals, we continue to spin stories about our world, and the scientific worldview is our story for today.
Because he thinks that we have to be oblique. We can't look at things directly. They escape us. When you're thinking, and now you start to think about your thinking, you're not thinking about the original object anymore. You know, I'm thinking about baseball. Now I'm thinking about how I'm thinking about baseball. I'm not thinking about baseball anymore. See? It's very elusive. T put it, you have to sneak past the watchful dragons of self-consciousness.
Oh, it ain't necessarily so.
I don't know a goddamn thing about God.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible.
But nevertheless, it's all in your head, FM. How do you like that?
Ain't necessarily so.
You're listening to It's All in Your Head, FM, radio for the rest.
That was Jim O'Rourke. Something from his very early career. I think this goes back to the mid to early 90s. A bizarre 10-inch called Please Note Our Failures. Before that, Pretender, John Oswald's, from John Oswald's Plunderphonics series of compositions. We heard an excerpt from It's All in Your Head FM by Negative Land, a brilliant live radio show, documentary, sound collage about God and how, just like radio, it's all in your head. We also heard music from William S. Burroughs collaborating with a group called Material, Road to the Western Lands. Before that, track from Godspeed You Black Emperor's debut album, F Sharp, A Sharp Infinity, and we started the show off with the great John Trudell. But this isn't Al Salvador from the album Tribal Voices. Up next, here on Disco 3000, music from John Zorn, reimaginings of Ennio Morricone soundtrack compositions from an album called The Big Gun Down. This is the title track, The Big Gun Down.
pensando alguma coisa e perdeu as fantasias. Mas o negócio tava bom, bicho. O negócio tava bom, só quando ele lavava, tava entupido.
Gostoso!
Quem diria, hein? Greta Garbo acabou de irajar, hein? Mas eu tava falando pra você, né? Depois que eu passei a me sentir, aí o negócio ficou diferente.
Vai, garoto!